All right, good. Good evening. Shalom aleichem. Shalom uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning as always the Zechu Nishmasim, the Ilui Nishmasim, Miriam Frun, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. And we daven that the Neshama should have an aliyah in the zchus of these Divrei Torah, and she should be a Militzo Yashar on behalf of her family, our Chabura, all of Kal Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. We continue to thank the Frun family very deeply for their stellar and unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah, Lezecher Nishmas, their mother, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. I really wasn't sure what to speak about tonight. The last time we met, we spoke about Chag HaAsif, and I think what was a meaningful shiur. And then I came across a piece that I would like to share and learn with you that is a beautiful, I think, a meaningful limud, minyani dioma, even though it's not really minyani dioma, you will see how it ties in. So I'm just going to begin by screen sharing with you. I'm going to screen share a couple of places. First of all, we're going to start at the end of Devarim. I know this week's Sadras Bereishis. Do you see that it's the end of Devarim? Okay. We're just going to go very quickly through the Pesukim of the Pshat. We just read these on Simchas Torah. On one hand, it seems like it was just Simchas Torah. And on the other hand, it seems like, was it really just Simchas Torah? This is the last parak of the Chumash. Moshe ascended from the plains of Moab to Mer Nevo, the top of the peak that's facing Yerecho, and God showed him the whole land, Gilad and Dan, the Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh. Oh, actually, I wanted to tell you something. I thought it was very, very interesting when I was doing the Sedra over Yom Tov. Rashi tells us by each place that Hashem showed him, you know, I'm going to show it to you. If I'd have thought of doing that, I would have prepared before. It's so interesting. By each place, Rashi says, he saw it, if you remember, b'shalva u'b'chorbana. Moshe saw each place. I want to show you. I transferred to say where we're going to have Rashi also. I thought it was very, very interesting. He went up to the peak of Moab. And what did he see? Hero is called Ertusol Bishalvasa, Vaha Mitzikin Haasidilios Mitzikina. Hashem showed him Eretz Yisrael in its peace and its tranquility. He showed him Eretz Yisrael with the adversaries who would one day oppress Eretz Yisrael. That's Kol Naphtali, Veis Kol Naphtali. That's Eretz Ephraim Umanasha, Veis Kol Eretz Yehuda, Arayam Echron. That's Kol Naphtali, says Rashi, her Ertusol Bishalvasa Vichurbana. Eretz mit Ephraim Menashe, her Ero Artsam Bishalvaso Ubichurbana. That's called Eretz Yehuda, Bishalvaso Ubichurbana. Adhayam Ha'acharon, Eretz Ma'arav, the western part of the land, Bishalvaso Ubichurbana. When I was learning this Sedro and Yentif, these psukim never struck me, these Rashis never struck me the way they struck me this Yom Tov. That Moshe saw the entirety of the land of Israel from his time until the end, the last day, like Rashi says here, Al Tikri Hayam Acharon, Ela Hayom Acharon. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him all the happenings that would happen to Israel and the land of Israel. But he saw the different regions in their tranquility, in their times of tranquility. I have to sneeze. Excuse me. In their times of tranquility, and in their times of destruction as well. And it just took a new meaning for me. And I was learning the Nesugya really over Yom Tov. Ves ha-negev, ves ha-kikar, bikas yirecho, yir ha-tmarim ad sohar. Last words. Vayam ha-shem elev, zot ha-artz asher nishbati le-avram le-tzoch le-yakov le-emar, le-zarechet nena hiri sicha ve-inecha v'shem lo tavar. And Hashem said to him, this is the land that I swear to our forefathers. To the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying to your seed, to your progeny, I shall give it. I have allowed you to see with your eyes, but there you shall not cross. And there Moses died, the servant of God in the land of Moab, by the word of God. He died by Mises Nefshika, by a kiss of death. He buried him in the depression in the valley, land of Moab, opposite base Pa'ar. Nobody knows his burial place until this day. Moshe was 120 years old when he died. When he died, his eyesight did not dim, his moisture did not leave him. The children of Israel cried for him. Yoshua ben Nun takes over. There was never again a prophet in Israel like Moses who knew God face to face for all the signs and the wonders Hashem sent him to do, the strong hand, before the eyes of Israel. Okay, this is the parak that describes the death of Moshe. Again, I found it very compelling to learn this on Simchas Torah. Shabbos, Shmigat Sarah, Simchas Torah, where Rashi tells us that he saw all the regions of the land, Bishalvasa, in times of tranquility and peace and quiet, ubechorbana, and in times, rachmana latzlan, of upheaval and destruction. Keep this in mind, the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It's impossible for the mind to fathom the numbers of kedoshim over the past 4 to 5 days. 5 days. It's a staggering number. And when we just say a number, it really loses its impact because your mind can't grasp what it means. Statistically, the number of Jews that have been killed in 5 days is equivalent to 30 to 40,000 Americans. Like, what's it called when you compare, like, how many people have been killed to how many the total population is? So the number of people who have been killed compared to the total number of people in the population, it would be as if 40,000 Americans are killed in 5 days, God forbid. That's how many is proportionally, maybe that's what I mean. There's a certain expression when you talk about, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. But when you say a number, your mind can't wrap around it. And there are so many rechmanot and kedoshim and korbanos. It's important to read something about their lives. It's very hard to find because the state of Israel is so overwhelmed by the logistics of what is happening and so many fronts to fight and so many aspects and crises all happening at the same time that they're not really releasing many of the names. Some names have been released. The IDF has been releasing some names. We're going to look at a couple of faces. It's very hard to find anything about them personally, even because there's just so many names. So someone that my son, for example, sent this to me yesterday. He said, this is just some random guy that I met when he was in Israel. He said, He said, this is a post. Someone I met, one random Shabbos in Kfar Chabad, just posted this on his WhatsApp. It's a WhatsApp status. You could see it. It's the guy's WhatsApp status. My son took a screenshot. Looking for 20 guys who are available tonight to dig 20 kvarim on Har Herzl. We can only start after the 11 p.m. Levaya finishes. It may take all night to dig. When we say the number, it doesn't have meaning to us because it's so huge. So, for example, when I was preparing the Shia, I tried to find some of the list of the Niftarim. This is published on 10-8. Oh, last modified 10-11. Okay. You could see my screen, yes? All right, look. I mean, I can't even read them, man. This is like, I think just the soldiers. Colonel Jonathan Steinberg, 42. Sachar Machluf, 36. Chen Bucharist, 26. Amir Skuri, 31. Adir Ovadi, 23. Yotam Ben Basat, 24. Commander. Aryeh Shlomo Zirin, 27. Ranana. Or Moses, 22. Ashdod. Yiftach Yabetz, Lieutenant, 23. Ramat HaSharon. Lieutenant Menashe Yovmev. Look. Manomer Manadaber. Kachnes Binchas Yichidcha Shara Haftas Yitzchak Velecha Arta Maria Acharim Shara Akam. Alelu Sham Le'ola Al Achar Harim. Corporal Ariel Hanna, 19, paratrooper from Rivadim. Yogev Aaron, 20, Golani from Pardes Chana. Hadar Kama, 24, Sariat Matkal. Staff Sergeant Jonathan Golan, soldier in the 7th Armored Brigade. Shin Betzev, 5 of his agents, have veterans have been killed in attacks. Israeli firefighters killed in the attacks. Those murdered in the village of Nitiv HaAsara. So it's unfathomable for our mind to grasp this. So I prepared just on this document. I think we also, where is it? We need to be very careful not to become immune to what's happening. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. We need to be very careful to remember that the sirens are blaring. Identification process is ongoing. The captives, including babies, children, and old women, are not returned. My son actually told me an interesting story that Rav Yaakov Bender told over at the Asifa on Motzei Chag, Sunday night. Many shuls had after Yom Tov, about an hour and a half after Yom Tov, Tehillim gatherings. They're ongoing the whole week, Baruch Hashem. So much Limudim, so much Tehillim, so much Tefillah, so much Torah. So Rabbi Yaakov Bender spoke, was at the White Shul, my husband and my son went. Rabbi Eitan Feiner spoke, and Rabbi Yaakov Bender spoke. So Rabbi Yaakov Bender, my son, told over the following story. When Rav Huttner was freed from the hijacking, very famous, of course, he was coming back to, I guess, New York, and there was a whole gathering to greet him at the airport. And they hired an 8-piece band, and the band was playing music. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gadodar, was leading the procession, and he went over to the band and he said, "Stop playing." He said, "This is not a celebration. We are here because we have to be here for Kavod HaTorah, for the Rosh Hashiva, for Rav Huttner. We're here for the mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah, being Makavo Rosh Hashiva. But this is not a celebration. There are still hostages, and so we're not celebrating. Stop the music. I think we have to make sure that as the confrontation continues with the Ribbono Shel Olam's rachamim should be misorer immediately. We have to remember that this is not a celebration, that there are still captives, niftarim, hundreds not yet buried because of the identification process. Yivo Anochi B'tzara must be the call of the hour, whether it's through Limudim, Tehillim, Shmira Project. You could sign up to get the name of a soldier. Me and my family did it. ShmiraProject.com. Takes like less than 10 seconds. You enter your name and your email, and you get the name of a soldier to daven for. My soldier's name is Raz Ben Sahavit. Shem Yishmar Alav. There has to be a sense of Noseb Olim Chaveiro. Rabender told over a different story that in 2014, when the three boys were captured and Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul were taken, he spoke to the 6th and 7th grade boys and he said to them, take something upon yourself. If you eat three treats a day, eat 2 treats a day. 6 months later, a boy named Yitzchak came over to Rav Bender and he said to him, Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi, I haven't eaten candy in 6 months. Is it enough time? So I think it's a big avoda to make sure that we, God forbid, don't become complacent while our brothers and sisters continue to fight for their lives and the crisis is ongoing. The commander of the, could you see my document? The commander of the Nachal Brigade, Colonel Yonatan Steinberg, was killed today, Saturday, during a confrontation with terrorists adjacent to Keren Shalom. Steinberg, 42, from Kiryat Shomria, was on his way to an exchange of fire that his soldiers were engaged in. On his way, he had a confrontation with a terrorist. He was killed. His family has been notified. There was very little information. I will just show you a picture of Yonatan Steinberg, down here. He was 42 years old. He is the highest ranking IDF officer to be killed in decades. 42 years old. Sergeant First Class Yosef Malachi Gudelia, 22, from Jerusalem, will be laid to rest at Har Herzl on Wednesday evening. Oh, his levaya was held in Israel. Sergeant First Class Gudela, 22, was among the IDF soldiers who fell while fighting to protect civilians in the southern Israel on Saturday, Shabbat. Yosef left behind a wife, parents, grandparents, 4 sisters, and 2 brothers. He was 22. Yosef, you were a lion. Even in your last moments, you fought like a lion, said his commander. His wife, Sinai, eulogized her husband. My Yossi, it's hard to know where to start. Nothing I say can encompass you in completion. There have been lots of words going around. People tell me things. I want to focus on one word, your middle name, Malachi. Early on in our relationship, I wanted to call Yosef Malachi, your full name. You told me it was too formal. Another one of your beautiful traits, your modesty. I explained to you Malachi was so right. I felt you were an angel, but it was too much for you. So I agreed to think of a new nickname, Joseph. You are my Joseph. I know you're sending me strength because you always do. I know I could count on you. Joseph, I really need you right now. What is my life without you? He was 22, so how old is his wife? 21, 22, 20. People keep asking me what I need. I say, I don't know, but I need you. Yosef's brother remarked, Jews around the world come home. That's the only way to avenge Yosef's death. This is a picture of the Niftar, Yosef Gudela. This was posted, my friend showed it to me actually. I'm not on Instagram, but it was on Instagram, Camp Moshava. With broken hearts, you can see him here with his kala outside of their chuppah. With broken hearts, we inform you that Yosef Gudela Zichron Avrecha was killed in battle. He was a beloved madrich in camp and a husband of Sinai, longtime Moshava camper and staff member. So this is just, not just, this is one of the soldiers who his father and one of the Niftarim. And again, when we talk about over 1,200, it doesn't mean anything. It's so big, your mind can't wrap your head around what we're hearing. Eino dome. You can't compare what you hear and what you see. So this is Yosef Gudela, who was buried tonight in Eretz Yisrael on Har Herzl, 22 years old, who fell on Shabbat on the front lines. This is Colonel Yonatan Steinberg, 42, who also fell on Shabbat, the highest ranking IDF officer to fall in decades. One more. This is also from the Camp Moshava. Thank my friend Melissa Spector for sharing these with me. It's very hard to find online unless you follow a lot of social media, because obviously the government of Israel is so overwhelmed that they are unable to publish sufficient details of the Niftarim. This is also Cam Moshava posted this. Baruch Dain HaEmes, with unfathomable pain. I mean, just look at the picture. I don't need to say anything. What do I need to say to you? With unfathomable pain, we announce the death in battle of Halal Sadon, Zichrono Levracha, the son of Elad and Dvor Sadon, and the grandson of our longtime assistant director, Chaim Livni. Halel fought valiantly at the Sufa outpost along with his comrades from the Nachal Brigade. The time of the funeral has not yet been determined. Tezichon Baruch Hashem Yom Kom Damam. Colonel Yonatan Steinberg. Halel Sadon. And Yosef Gudela. So, I want to quote from who's Aryeh Zeering? Oh, was he one of the Niftarim, Joanna, on the list? Had you heard that he had fallen in battle from New Rochelle? Did you know that? Was it posted somewhere in your community? Yes. Are you saying yes? I should just send out Baruch Dayan MS. Could you send it to me, please? So, we began by looking at the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we looked at the list, Too Long to Fathom, which Joanna recognized, one of the fallen soldiers' names. And then we looked at three soldiers who have fallen in recent days, on their pictures, on their faces, on their ages, and their names. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Levracha, now. This is from the Sefer Festivals of Faith, Reflections on the Jewish Holiday. And he speaks about a simple farewell. That's what the drasha is entitled. It was published in 1976. Oh, there's a note. This is the last sermon I preached in the rabbinate before assuming the presidency of Yeshiva University. The theme that dominates the end of Chag HaSukkot is that of farewell. The drasha is entitled A Simple Farewell. As you will learn with me, I think it's most appropriate for so many Jews right now who are receiving what can only be called a simple farewell. Due to the enormity of the situation, there was not enough time or logistics or space to publish all their stories. Each one was a brother, sister, mother, father, friend, Jew, parent, child. There's not enough time. And so Klal Yisrael must bid a simple farewell to so many Kedoshim. Shmini Atzeret comes at the tail end of the Sukkot holiday, which itself is the conclusion of the whole holiday, season, including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. The rabbis explain that Shmini Atzeret is one day celebration at the end of the holiday season, which is, by the way, when the Neftarim fell. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day, so Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah are the same day. This one-day celebration at the end of the holiday season is a day special set aside by God. It is compared, says the Medrash, why can I talk, to a king who invited his children for a feast for a number of days. When the time came to take leave, the king said, "Banai, bakasha mimkem, ikvu imi yom echad," this is Rashi to Vayikra 23:36, "kasha alai predatechem," very famous Amar. Kasha alai predatechem, your taking leave is hard for me. Stay one more day. So the entire theme of the end of Sukkot, the entire theme of Sukkot is the end of Atzar and Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Shmini Atzeret is the end of the end. And the biblical figure who dominates the holiday of Shmini Atzeret slash Simchas Torah, which is only one day really remember for an Eretz Yisrael, when we read the last portion of the Torah, on the last day of this last holiday of this holiday season, is Moshe Rabbeinu, who delivers his last discourse, Vezosa Bracha. And therefore, the whole theme of this Yom Tov, Shmini Atzeret, is that it's the end. The end of the Chagim period, season, the end of Sukkot holiday, the end of Chumash, and then the Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Shmini Atzeret is a time when we bid farewell. Moshe Rabbeinu is a man who looms larger than life itself, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Avrecha. Yet his death is so very human. He begs Hashem, V'eschanan al Hashem, Be'ishehi Lemur, Devarim 3:23. I begged Hashem at that time, saying, Ebrana, let me cross over. V'ara etz aret, V'ara es ha'aret ha'tova. V'ara tova zerva levona. Let me see, says Rashi, the Beis HaMikdash. Let me see Yerushalayim. And Chazal tell us, as Rabbi Lam quoted in the Mechilta and Sifrat Bamidbar, Moshe even said to God, if I cannot come in as the leader, let me come in at the end of a procession as an ordinary Jew. I don't have to be the leader. Let me just come in at all. And if I cannot come in alive, let me at least come in dead to be buried in the promised land. Some random guy that my son met in Kfar Chabad when he was in our show going back a few years ago. Can anyone volunteer to dig 20 graves on Har Herzl tonight? It might take all night. We could only start after the 11 p.m. Levaya. Please, said Moshe, if I can't go in as the leader, I'll go in the back. I'll just be an ordinary Jew. And if I can't go in as an ordinary Jew in the back, at least let me go in death. Let me at least have Kfar Yisraelis, Baretz Yisrael. The divine response was, V'shama lo tavor. God's last words to Moshe. Here isicha ve'enacha v'shama lo tavor. Furthermore, Chazal tell us, Nigmar, that Moshe wrote the end of Torah himself, with his quill dipped into his tears. Kotavis Bidima, he wrote it with his own tears. And he wrote, and there Moshe died, on the plains of Moab, not in his promised land. And now we quote from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, in Masachasot Yudalet Aleph, after the Gemara there tells us, how do you go after God? God is a consuming fire. Zuk the Gemara. Lahalech achar midos of Shel Kolish Baruch Hu. To go after the attributes, emulate the ways of a Kolish Baruch Hu. Just like his mal bishurumim, precious gracious. Bikur cholem, nechum avelim, kivur mesim. You should do those things also. You should clothe the unclothed. You should visit the sick. Comfort the dead and bury. Comfort the mourner and bury the dead. And then the Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Simle, Torah Tchilas Gemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The Gemara continues out to 14a and says, Rabbi Simle teaches the Torah begins with Gemilas Chasad and ends with Gemilas Chasad. How does it begin with Gemilas Chasad? It's this week's parasha. And the Perek Gimel in Bereishis, Vayas Hashem Elokim La'adam L'ishto Kosnos Ar Vayalbishim. And the Pasuk tells us, and God Elokim made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. That's the first chesed in the Torah. Hashem was ma'al bisharumi. What's the end of the chesed in the Torah? What's the last chesed in the Torah? Vayikbar oso begai. Hashem buried Moshe. The Gemara has just told us, kivur meisim, God buries Moshe. Who buries Moshe? If the pasuk says, lo yada ish es kraso aryam azeh, so who buries Moshe Rabbeinu? How did he get buried? He needs kvar yisraelis. So how does he get buried? Hashem buried him. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says that the first chesed in the Torah is when Hashem clothed Adam and Isha. And the last chesed, which is Parshas Bereishis, and the last chesed in the Torah is when Hashem buried Moshe. That's what Rabbi Simlei teaches. I'll tell you a beautiful var, a gevaldik chedesh, that you heard from Rabbi Zev Lef a couple of years ago. It's tremendous. A few years ago. Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita says, what is Rabbi Simlei teaching you? The Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. The first chesed in the Torah is Hashem clothed Adam and Isha. And the last chesed in the Torah, says Rabbi Simle, is that he buried Moshe. Kashakosh Baruch Hu b'kvodu v'atzmo. Who was Malava the mace? Hashem. Rabbi Zev Lef says something tremendous. He says this is the power of Torah. What does that mean? It takes man, who is a sinner, Adam and Isha, at the time that God clothed them, they were sinners. It takes man who is a sinner. And as man journeys through the whole Torah, he becomes so great that he becomes a person who is worthy of being buried by God. I don't know if I'm saying it over well. The godless, one of aspects of the godless of Torah, is that it has the capability to change a human being from a person who is a sinner to a person who is so great he can only be buried by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. It's a beautiful verse. Am I saying it over properly? Do you understand what I'm saying? You could be honest. Kacha kacha, or you understand? We're okay. Okay, the few people who have their screens open. Everyone else, you're going to have to go along with them because their screens are closed, so you don't get a vote. I can't see you. Rabbi Zev Lef says, what is Rabbi Simle really teaching you? What's between God made clothing for Adam and Isha and he buried him in the depression? The entire Torah. All of the mitzvos, all of the instructions. All of the musar and the misorah and Torah and halacha and hashkafa and amuna is between the bookends. What are the two bookends? He made clothing for Adam and his wife and he clothed them. He buried Moshe in the depression. What's the difference between Adam and Isha and Moshe Rabbeinu? A lot. But in this part, Adam and Isha were sinners. They didn't listen to God. They were being banished. They were being kicked out. They sinned. Moshe was the greatest person who ever walked the face of the earth. Look at the power of Torah, says Rabbi Zev. A person begins as a sinner, but as he journeys through the entire Torah, that same Adam, who comes from Afar, becomes so great. He becomes a Moshe Rabbeinu that only a Kosh Baruch Hu himself could bear him. I don't know if anyone has seen, there's been so many videos going around. Soldiers dancing, being mechazik. There's one video, my brother shared it, of soldiers dancing with a Torah, and it's a long Hebrew caption. It was a Torah that was rescued from one of the communities that were massacred, and the caption said it's finally getting its hakafa. They were dancing with it on their base. Torah has the capacity, the capability, the strength to elevate a person from being a person who needs to be cloaked from shame of sin, to being a person who's so great that only God himself can bury this person. How do you get there? By journeying through Kotel Torah Kula. It's gevaldik. Anyway, that's just a little bit of an aside. It's not really an aside. Rabbi Dr. Norman, I'm talking about the Gemara. That's Rabbi Zev Lef. Now, says Rabbi Dr. Norman M., I can understand why the rabbi saw the beginning of the Torah is characterized by these divine charitableness. Charitableness. Is that a word? I guess so. Charity, charitableness. Providing clothing for primitive man as a way of giving him warmth, protection against the elements, a sense of dignity, which elevated him above the animals. Clothing is a response to a sense of shame. You all know that begadim is from the word bogade, Bogeid means trespass or treason. We only needed begadim after the sin. Before sin, man and Isha did not need begadim. This is really tying in Zosu Brach, and it's a lot in Bereshis also, which is this week's Sedra. There was no shame before the sin. They didn't need clothing. Nobody was embarrassed. There was no embarrassment. Shame came from sin. They committed a trespass against God, Bogeid, Beis Gimel Dalet. And therefore, they need begadim. Begadim are a response to sin. Before sin, they didn't need it. By the way, it's interesting that the Aleph is missing. It's the first 3 letters of the Aleph, Beis Gimel Dalet, because if one has Amunah, Aleph, they don't commit trespass against God. And you take away your Amunah and Hashem, all of a sudden you're left susceptible to Bogeid, you commit treason, which is what sin is against God, and all of a sudden you need begadim. Okay. Clothing is a response to a sense of shame, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. That's one of the things that makes mankind human. Okay, so we understand, according to this piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, you could say that the Torah begins with chesed, because Hashem cloaked Adam and Isha. They were embarrassed, they were cold, they were naked, there's no clothing manufacturers, there's no online websites, there's no stores to buy it in, so Hashem made them clothing. But how and why should the verse, Vayikbar Oso Begai, he buried him in the valley, in the depression, be regarded as Gemilas Chesed, an act of loving kindness? Moshe just lies down and he dies. A simple farewell, no act of bravery, no dramatic climax. How is this an act of Chesed? The Medrash describes the manner of simplicity in which Moshe died. God said to Moshe, Moses, lie down. Moses, lay down. Moses, fold your hands across your chest. He folded his hands across his chest. Moses, close your eyes. Moshe closed his eyes. Whereupon God kissed Moshe, we saw in Rashi, B'misas Nashika, and thus withdrew his soul from his body. And so Moshe died. No witnesses. No audience. No long list of obituaries in the New York Times. This is 1976. No fancy mausoleum. No unveiling in the company of family and friends. I saw they came to the Rishon Lezion, Tzfarik Chief Rabbi, the Rabbanim. What should they do with all the Neftarim? Can they do temporary kavura till they can identify the bodies? Bury them without formal identification? He said, absolutely not. I'm just telling you what I read. I know nothing. Just simply telling you what was on the Israeli sites. Every body for a kavana meis, even though it's taking time, it will take time, must be properly identified and a proper kavura. How did Moshe die? No witnesses, no audience, no long list of obituary, no fancy mausoleum, no unveiling in the company of family and friends, no write-ups of all the victims. I always think it's important to read something about them. Kedosha. But in such a matzav, it's practically impossible. No unveiling in the company of family and friends. Instead, no one even knows his burial place until the very last day. For 30 days, people mourned him. At the end of this period, the days of mourning for Moses came to an end, and it's over. And this, according to the rabbis, is an act of gemilas chasadim, loving kindness. This powerful, titanic figure, Moshe, who flouted the might of Egypt and forced Pharaoh and his empire to their knees, who gathered up a pitiful group of slaves and molded them into a nation, this historic giant. It is heartbreaking. Moshe pleads for extra favors. Can I please see the land? God, I gave my sweat and blood for these people. I suffered through every kind of agony. They never forgave me. They were obstinate. Rabbi Lam gives 3 reasons as to how we understand that Moshe's burial by God was an act of kindness. I am not going through all 3. I'm going to focus on the last one. This entire essay, which I'm not reading to you, Joshua, is in Festivals of Faith. And these people reach out to me and ask me where I'm quoting from, so I'm telling you. Festivals of Faith, Reflections on the Jewish Holidays, begins on page 160. The whole essay is beautiful, but I just don't have time. There are 3 ways to understand what Rabbi Simlei means when he says the last act of chesed in the Torah is kivur meisim. So where are we holding? Our nation is facing an incomprehensible, unfathomable situation necessitating kivur meisim on a mass scale. Shemini Atzeret is the last for a while. So the Yom Tov season, to Sukkot itself, to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, to the life in Moshe Rabbeinu, and this year, Tafshin Pei Dalet, to the neshamas of so many Yidden who fell on this day of farewell. How do we understand that Moshe's burial is an act of Gmilas Chasad? So the first reason that Rabbi Lam gives, I don't even actually want to get into it. I can't say Avgal Achas. The first one is that it's an act of kindness for us. He explains why. The first one is that it's an act of kindness for us. The second reason is it's an act of kindness for Yehoshua. I'm not getting into those, sorry. The third is what I want to touch upon. Third and finally, says Rabbi Lam, the simple farewell was an act of loving kindness to Moshe. How? The first answer is that it's an act of loving kindness to Am Yisrael, and he's talking about all the way to all Doros, all Jews. The second is that it's an act of kindness for Yehoshua, Moshe's successor. But the third answer is what I want to touch upon. Third and finally, the simple farewell is an act of loving kindness to Moshe himself. How so? By virtue of its very simplicity. Why? Because Moshe needed... 1 second. Look again. Yosef Gudela, 22 years old, killed in battle. Here is his picture with his wife. They're standing in front of their chuppah. Halal Sa'adon, who fought valiantly at the Sufa outpost, along with his comrades from the Nachal Brigade. And Corporal Yonatan Steinberg, 42. By the way, Jonathan Yonatan Steinberg, Shamim Kamdamam, it's my son's boss's second cousin. And the day after my son told me, my boss, he said the boss's name, the second cousin, was killed. In other words, my son's boss's parents and Jonathan Steinberg's parents were first cousins. The next day, my son told me my boss found out that his first cousin's child was just killed. The next day, that's when he told me, the same boss. Jonathan Steinberg was 42. Halal Sa'adon, I don't know how old he was, but you see his picture right here. And this picture speaks more than a million words. And Yosef Gudelia. And their lives were taken, and they gave their lives for the people of Israel, a country of Eretz Israel, the Medina of Israel, and Torah Israel. What does it have to do with the death of Moshe, and why did I choose this piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman M? Moshe needed no heroic act to signify heroic ends, for all his life was an exercise in heroic holiness. Moshe needed no heroic act to signify heroic ends, for all his life was an exercise in heroic holiness. His whole life was dedicated to a life of heroism. His whole life was a life of Kedusha. His whole life was a life of serving God. His quiet, uneventful death highlighted and emphasized, by contrast, the dramatic quality and the heroic texture of his whole life. When a person lives their whole life as a hero, the simple farewell does not diminish from anything they've done. It only adds to it. Reminds us that they don't need to go out with a bang, so to speak, because the whole life is one of heroism. The whole life is one of selflessness. The whole life is one of courage. The whole life is living for behalf of the people and ultimately dying on behalf of the people. Moses needed no heroic act to signify heroic ends. All of his life was an exercise in heroic holiness. His quiet, uneventful death highlighted and emphasized by contrast the dramatic quality and the heroic texture of his whole life. His whole life is one of dramatic quality. His whole life is heroic texture. Courage and valor were his everyday companions. Courage and valor were his everyday companions. Hardihood of spirit, fortitude of character, firmness of backbone were his daily experience and daily equipment. Look at the smile and confidence on Hilal Sadon's face. As he clearly, he's holding a wool hat. He has knee guards. It's a knapsack, a bulletproof vest, two water bottles in his hand, his gun, and he's smiling. Hardihood of spirit, fortitude of character, firmness of backbone were his daily experience and daily equipment. And a hero needs no closing act. A hero needs no grand finale. A hero needs no heroics in death. For no death could be as great as his life. No death could be impressive as his teachings in life. When a man is remembered for one act, no matter what it be, he has lived but for a moment. But if a man is remembered for his whole life, he has achieved immortality. You know, I spoke today at the Nautilus. Could you imagine this? I spoke at the Nautilus today. And I said when I came in, I told the director, I'm not speaking about the current situation. I'm speaking about Bereshis. So she said, they know. It's not a secret. Anyway, I was planning to say the Mishnah Berurah for the Chayalim and a Kapitel Tehillim and then go to Bereshis. When I came in, one of the younger residents had a photocopy for me. I said, what is this? She said, just go up. You'll see when you get there. I opened it up. It was the Tefillah for the Shalom HaMedina, which I've not recited personally in a long time. Tzur Yisrael v'golo, Barech Medina Yisrael v'yishit smichat gulatenu. I was standing at the podium, and some of the residents are Holocaust survivors. I was sobbing for 20 minutes. I said to them, do you want me to just sit down? Should I just stop? So we alternate between shock, silence, tears, all the while praying. Yes, perfect, thank you. The one you see on the screen right now is Yonatan Steinberg, 42 years old, the highest ranking officer to have fallen in decades. Why did Moshe die with such simplicity? Why was the goodbye almost so anonymous? Why did nobody know where he was buried? Nobody knew exactly when and where he fell. He slipped away to eternity. Because Moshe needed no heroic act to signify heroic ends. His whole life was an exercise in heroic holiness. His quiet, uneventful death, don't look at me, look at what's on the screen when I'm speaking. His quiet, uneventful death highlighted and emphasized by conscience the dramatic quality and the heroic texture of his whole life. Courage and valor were his everyday companions. Hardihood of spirit. Now I put Yosef Gudela and his wife on the screen. He was 22 when he fell. His wife eulogized him. She said, people ask me what I need. She said, I need nothing. I need you. Hardihood of spirit, fortitude of character, firmness of backbone were his daily experience and his daily equipment. He needed no closing act, no grand finale, no heroics. No death could be as great as the life of a hero. No death could be impressive as his teachings. When a man is remembered for one act, no matter what it be, he has lived for a moment. But if he is remembered for his whole life, he has achieved immortality. No wonder the Torah tells us, Lo kahasa eino velo naslecho. His eyes did not dim, his vigor did not leave him. Moshe was too busy living to begin to die. His end came quickly and simply. It was not really death, but simply the cessation of life. To appreciate why this was an act of Gemilas Chasadim, consider what would have happened had he experienced a dramatic death. This man, Moses, The Israelites would have been all too prone to forget his whole life. They would only focus on his death. They would forget his teachings, his messages, all the annoying irritations that constituted Moshe's mission. They would have dramatized and reenacted his death. It was therefore a favor to Moshe to force him a simple farewell, and therefore and thus perpetuate the nobility of his whole life. No parent wants to be remembered only for the way he died, no matter how noble. He wants his whole life to be perpetuated. No teacher wants to be remembered only by his last lecture, no rabbi by his last sermon. No soldier wants to be remembered only for his last battle. They want their entire life of dedication, the life of courage, of selflessness, of accepting responsibility to protect Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, to be remembered. Look at this boy. Look at this boy. It was therefore a favor to Moshe to force to him a simple farewell. It was an act of Mir Chasadim to Moshe, so the dramatic conclusion of his life should not obscure and outshine the far more significant achievements of his whole life. Not to let the people forget his historic service. So the theme of farewell is suffused with charity, gentleness, and goodness. How apropos that Shmini Atzeret, which this year, Shavat Misos Libeinu Nehapach La'Evel Mecholeinu, quite literally, the joy in our hearts ceased on Simchat Torah. Our dances turned to mourning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kasha alai predatechem. It is so difficult for me, God says, to say farewell to you. Ikvu ma'at, stay with me a little bit, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on this day of farewells, the book of Moshe, like the life and the mission of Moshe, comes to an end. With our hearts full of devotion and sensitivity, we move on to the next leader, Yehoshua. And what does Hashem tell Yehoshua? What do we all need to hear? Rachazak va'amatz me'od. God says to Yehoshua, right in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Rach chazak va'amatz me'od. You must continue to be strong. And you must continue to be very courageous. Tei Zichron Baruch. Remember, we looked at three Kedoshim tonight. 1,200 is impossible. It doesn't mean anything. It's more than 1,200. Plus the 100 that are in captivity. There are babies in captivity. A simple farewell is a chesed, so that you don't forget the life of heroism and courage that the person lived. They don't only want to be remembered for their final act. They wanted to be remembered for an entire life of selfless devotion to Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Medina Yisrael. Shem Yinkom Damam. Shir should be a schos for the Aliyah Neshama and Zechira the Tova, and Miriam Beschaim Yitzhak Alal Sham. We've been learning so many years in her memory. We beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in her zchuyos, in the zchuyos of all these divrei Torah, over all of these years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring shalom and geula immediately and in our days. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, now we meet, we should have much, much better besoros tovos to share. Kol tov to all, and be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom.